What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yep.
Bringing you the Clippers news 5 days a week.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to kick things off today with a recap of that. Would you call it a good win?
It was a win. Yeah.
Over the Timberwolves. Clippers took care of business in that one. We'll talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, as well as just kind of how we're feeling. And then we have a preview. There's some basketball being played tonight. Spurs take on the Clippers here in LA at Staples. We're going to talk what we need to do well in that one, as well as what could go wrong.
It's kind of a weird matchup to look at. I think we're going to be fine.
Spurs are kind of a weird team to look at.
Yeah.
And then we'll have some freshies for you.
Yeah, this is kind of a...
I like this one. You posed a hypothetical in there. We're definitely reading way too much into a photo that was shared of the team on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
So stay tuned for all of that and more.
So, yes, the Clippers won 118-106 over the Wolves at the Saturday matinee game.
Yeah, love a matinee game.
Did this one ever feel like a matinee game?
Yeah.
This was like, I don't know. We got the win. It was never really like in question, but some interesting... I don't know. Let's get into what we liked. First off, Kawhi Leonard got his ninth game of 30-plus.
He had an absurdly efficient game.
Yeah. He had 24 in the first half.
Yeah.
Which came out of... we needed it, but it kind of came out of nowhere.
Definitely.
And then his final line was 31-6-4. Only one turnover.
In under 24 minutes.
Yes.
Which you love to see. The scoring distribution was actually... pretty well-rounded in this one.
Yeah, it was a very even... We had six guys in double digits.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but it was nice to see our bench come back.
For sure.
Like, in the way that, you know, like, we're used to seeing them able to establish leads and stuff, which has not really been the case.
It looked a little shaky defensively kind of early.
Yes.
But then it was, like, right around... I think it was the end of the second quarter where things really kind of, like a switch felt like it was flipped and how the team was playing their defense.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it was affected a lot by the way the gameplay kind of went out through that first half. Like, it was very slow staccato. So I do think that it took a little bit of rhythm to get the guys locked in.
Yeah. You mentioned the minutes for Kawhi. Paul George played 25. He played more than Kawhi,
mm-hmm.
which was... kind of surprising, and then had 21
he 7. Had so much rest. He should.
Yeah. 21 7, 2 and 2 steals, 50% shooting. He looked way better. He looked great this game in terms of offensively.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No complaints there. Hyper efficient, 9 of 18 from the floor, 3 of 6 from 3.
Shamet had 10 plus again.
Yeah. So that one was a little bit interesting because it all came kind of late. He only, I think through three quarters, he had really only attempted like two or maybe three field goal attempts.
Doc was calling sets late, which was cool in this game. Like, Doc was like drawing stuff up for Landry late.
Yeah.
Which I really like to see those reps. Bev had 12, 5, and 4.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, classic what we look for from Bev. He was driving early, getting to the basket with relative ease.
The perimeter defense looked like it was upset about what happened in the Kings game.
Yes.
Which was good. The Wolves shot 18% from three, which was, that's not going to get it done. So Doc talked about that in the post game. He was like, I could tell. It seemed like I could tell the guys, you know, when you give up as many as you did.
23 main threes.
You want to come out and, you know, try to forget that one. what did we dislike in this game?
Like we talked about, like, I mean, didn't really have anything to do with the team. It was like more on the rest, but like that, it just seemed a little disjointed.
The whistle was so quick in the first,
truly
half.
Truly, and it seemed
Bev got a tech 14 seconds into this game.
Yeah,
which made no sense.
Yeah,
which I think actually helped him. I think he was able to like use that as like, all right,
focused up a little bit.
Yeah, like okay, if this is how it's gonna be, like
yeah. No, that totally makes that makes sense. It felt like a matinee game.
Kat and Kawhi were kind of going back and forth in the beginning.
Yeah.
We were kind of trading buckets a little early. I think I tweeted it. I was like, hey, don't look now, but the Clippers are trading buckets with a sub 500 team.
This is just a quick aside, but yeah. What did you think of Covington's, if this was his audition tape?
His defense was great. He had some really good defensive.
I was going to say defensively, he looked really, really good.
Offensively was not good. 3 of 7.
He
had 3 steals, 2 blocks.
Yeah.
So like he showed what
yeah
the defense is all about. He looked great on that end of the ball. Cat's the only player who really killed us. He had 32 and 12. It seemed like a situation where it was like, we're going to maybe let Cat do his thing and everyone else try and pick it up.
Matchup-wise, I mean, that kind of makes sense to do, you know?
Zoo was trying on him.
Yeah.
Napier had 11 dimes, which I was actually kind of impressed with. I was like, this dude can pass.
Yeah, it was really impressive because I was like, I was wondering who is like the playmaking lead, really, for the Timberwolves. And man, he definitely stepped up. He was great.
Zoo had, like I said, he had a rough go defensively. He had some bad fouls, but he was really trying against Cat. But it's Cat.
Yeah.
Cat also looked like one of the only people on the Timberwolves who wanted to win this game.
But yeah.
We got to give a shout out to Zoo. He had 10 boards. 6 of them were offensive rebounds, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
He made some really good passes out of the paint. There was this one play. He got the offensive board among like 3 Wolves.
Uh-huh.
Grabbed it, was getting harangued, and then immediately found Shamit, who hit a 3. Like, it was a really nice, like, it was like a play where you're kind of like, oh, that's a grown-up Zoo play.
Yeah, man, we haven't heard so much about the Zoo passing game in a while.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they did talk about it a lot.
That's up there with the Jerry West. We'll be seeing a lot of him.
A lot of Terrence Mann stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
With the cryptic kind of.
Zoo only had one assist in this game. But yeah, no, it was funny to watch the Wolves. They hate each other.
They really do.
They don't like playing basketball together.
Oh, this is, I should have put this in the what we liked, but Paul George, very vocal out there.
Oh, good call.
I love to see it. He was just communicating everyone like
it felt like as a whole. He was leading the charge for that, which was great.
And I think that's good. I mean, Kawhi, you know, obviously like leads by example, and I do think the team does follow his lead.
For sure,
I wouldn't argue against that. But it's nice to have that voice out there.
Well, it's nice to have the literal voice.
The literal voice. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, he does talk more than Kawhi.
Oh man, you put a note in here, something I had forgotten about. We disliked.
Trez's
ankle.
We had ankle watch 2020 now. He rolled it twice.
Yeah.
Or not, I don't know if he rolled it twice. He rolled it once and like it got smashed another time.
Yeah. Aggravated it another time. He was on the ground a couple. You know what?
It was right at the end of the half. Or the first half, which is when he did it the first time.
There's a lot of guys on the ground in this one, which I didn't care for. Paul George got hit in the eye or something at one point.
Yeah, Paul George got hit in the face.
He was on the ground for a while. We had a call like a couple
Trez took a charge that was kind of a shaky charge. They could have been only down like 3 after this play because it would have been an and one.
Uh-huh.
And then, but it was called a charge. It was like kind of iffy. I'm glad we got it our way. Trez took out that charge, which I think might have been the second time he hurt his ankle. But he got up and like punched the stanchion.
That was the first time, yeah.
So hard, dude. Yeah. He punched it really hard. He returned and played. We got to see some Zoo minutes on the 4th.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
I guess the only way that that's going to happen.
Literally seems like it. So, yeah, we definitely are going to keep an eye on Trez's ankle. And, oh, here's the thing I didn't like. Doc said that Shamit's on a minute restriction, which, A, I don't think is true because he played the most minutes of anyone in this game.
Yeah, so this is
but
like...
But he said it was his back, which is the part that I dislike, which I'm like, is there something up with Landry's back? He was so candid about it.
Yeah.
He was like, someone was just like, oh, what's like, what's Landry's excuse? His back. It was just like, oh, okay, his back. That's a big thing. I don't know.
Nah.
It doesn't seem to be an issue.
Yeah.
He shot 50%.
Yeah, that is a good point, though. I don't know exactly what the minutes restriction was. And this, it comes pretty suddenly. Like
It came out of nowhere.
We thought that it was like a slip of. It was just like a Doc slip in the game after the Kings game,
but
where he had mentioned Landry on a list of guys that were being like, yeah, on a minutes restriction,
and it's just like, oh, it's back. Okay, I mean, it doesn't seem to be a thing, but
I hope not.
PG still on the minutes restriction,
yep,
which is fine.
Kawhi's back was unlocked though.
Yeah,
so that's good.
They got that open. How are we feeling after this game?
You know, with a little bit more hindsight, I'm like feeling a little bit better about it. It's like one of those wins where it's hard because like there really is only one thing to do, and it's like you got to take care of business and like get the win. Yeah. And it's not like
this wasn't an ugly win. This wasn't a blowout win. This was like win.
Yeah, it was punching the clock. Business as usual. Yeah. But it is good to see.
There are some encouraging signs.
There was some encouraging signs. So I think there's some overarching things to be happy about.
Definitely some positives going into this game against the Spurs. That about wraps it up. Let us know what you thought about the win over the Timberwolves.
Maybe you hated it.
Maybe you hated it.
Maybe you wanted them to lose.
Maybe Karl-Anthony Towns is going to get traded to the Clippers. Well, a lot of people are talking about that. Coming up after this, we're going to be previewing the game against the Spurs. But first, if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertising.
I have.
Working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Clippers is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Clippers fans just like you. We got money, some of us. Me, sometimes. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. Let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777. Visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising.
All right.
Welcome to the Spurs vs. Clippers preview Monday night game.
Monday night basketball.
Going to be nice that it's at a regular time.
Yeah, I mean, Doc will be able to get his lunch.
Doc can get his lunch in, which is usually his biggest concern on those new games. God, I love that so much.
What does that mean, do you think? Do you think that's a euphemism for something?
No, I think he literally probably eats lunch at the same time every single day.
Yeah, that is definitely. That's fair.
And he always goes into the same place. He says, just give me the special. Does not want to think about it.
Regardless.
I used to work on a ranch, and that's what my boss would do. Every day, we'd just go to the same cafe. There was one cafe. And he would just be like, just give me the special. Like, why do you get that? And he's like, I don't know. It's always good. I don't ever have to think about it. Like, I don't even know what it is. The Spurs come into this one. It's
creamed fish or something.
Yeah. It's day-old chowder. It's like donuts. But the Spurs come into this one 22-26. Not, you know, they've had a... It's a weird time in San Antonio, it feels like.
Yeah, it's weird. It's definitely like... They're just a different team than the Spurs teams that we remember. Not necessarily in a bad way, but they are like a more offensively potent.
It doesn't seem... Yeah, they're kind of like in a transition.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are eighth in points per game.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But I think on paper, we are definitely... We're the favorites in this one by quite a bit.
So what do we need to do well in this one? I got to say, I want us to have a strong home performance.
Okay.
This is a team that, you know, is not in the playoff hunt, really. I mean, they're sitting at the 10 spot.
Yeah.
And I'd like to have a solid...
A comprehensive win is what you're saying.
Comprehensive, yeah.
Clippers are 10-point favorites.
Yeah. They're not... The Spurs are not a great road team. They're just 8-14.
Oh, that is the definition of not great.
So, yeah, I'd like, what do you think we need to do well?
Control the paint. Okay. Marcus Aldridge kills us every time we play basketball against him.
Yes.
That's how things go. The Spurs rank second in the league in two-point attempts and 29th in three-point attempts.
Wow.
Very interesting way to play basketball. Shocking. Very interesting way to play basketball in 2020. And they have really good shooters, which I'm going to talk about and what could go wrong, actually.
Yeah.
So our mid-range defense is going to have to be on point two. Everything inside the arc is going to have to be there. Mm-hmm. Hands in the passing lanes, which we've been very good at lately.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this is a game where we can see, and I think it will be, where it's like, oh, damn, Paul George is like, he had two steals last game. I think, yeah. You know, I don't think there's anything too crazy thinking that he could have another game like that.
Yeah.
Easy, I feel like.
Yeah. He also had a very funny, like, pickup dribble, like, behind the back. It was just, like, one of the slowest moves.
Yeah.
Like, it worked, but I don't know.
It was just like, oh, you could see, yeah. What else do we got to do?
The Spurs are kind of middle of the road of a lot of things, but I mean, we got to continue to rebound the ball well.
For sure.
They are 10th in the league, but really they're not that far behind us. Like the gap between 2 and 10, it's a couple of rebounds a game.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
And they have traditional 7-footers. Jakob Poeltl, is an interesting like is an yeah. interesting matchup.
He's going to be coming off the bench probably against Trez, I would assume. So
yeah, well, yeah. Unless they go big and have him next to LaMarcus, which could be an interesting matchup. But yeah, I think Zoo is going to have to clean up well on the glass. What? I guess we can get into it in the matchups, but like they have kind of an interesting bench, I would say.
For sure.
So I would like to see like are this you know like the bench able to at least maintain a lead, if not hopefully extend a lead.
For sure. We also I have in here take advantage of turnovers.
Okay.
Spurs take care of the ball very well. They're fourth.
Not a surprise there.
I know. They're fourth in total turnovers with 13 a game. So our transition play has looked kind of better as of late. Like there was like successful outlet passes in the game against the Wolves. So taking advantage when the Spurs turn the ball over is going to help us, I think, go to your thing of just like burying this team.
Yeah.
And I mean, showing them like if you mess up in any way, we are good enough to make you pay for it immediately.
Yeah, we really, the Kings games that we lost, I feel like we did score the points off of turnovers was like really pretty successful. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but and in the Timberwolves game for sure, like I think we've been able to get teams off their game plan, and then like really anytime there is a turnover, we're able to make it go.
I will say the transition defense sometimes. Sometimes the transition defense, we can't stick to guys.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Our like, transition defense?
Yeah, like we have a hard time like kind of sticking to guys.
Definitely.
In the transition the defensive side of the transition ball, I guess. What could go wrong in this one?
They just like we said, they have like some offensive firepower. I think that they could really quickly turn this into like a shootout.
So that's a thing. They're 29th in threes, but they're 8th in total three percentage with 36.7%.
Yeah.
Patty Mills is just under 40% on 6 a game. LaMarcus is only taking 3, but he's shooting 42%. So like if we're giving them looks on the perimeter, they're going to make a good amount of them.
Yeah.
Probably.
I think isn't Bryn Forbes taking a bunch?
Yeah, let me get that. Yeah. Bryn Forbes is taking 6 at 36%. So they got guys who are going to. And Patty Mills plays well against us.
So that's I guess what interests me about the bench. Like Patty Mills is probably going to have a great game because I don't know who's guarding him on that second unit.
I realize that we really love Patty Mills on this podcast.
Oh, I'm a Patty Mills. I'm a Patty Mills fan.
Yeah. Do you think they maybe
like offensively? He's going to cook on that second unit.
There's a chance he has a good game.
Maybe. I mean, it'd be great. it'd be great to see. You know, Magruder maybe able to have a solid defensive game.
Shamit, too.
Shamit, who has been looking better. The fouls have been worrying me, but...
Yeah, that's fair. No, the bench is definitely interesting. They got Derek White, Lonnie Walker. Dude, Michael Bellinelli. That's a...
Confetti Bellinelli.
Yeah, that is... I mean, that is a thing that could go wrong, is if our bench is maybe a little...
If it's a little lackadaisical, I mean, it's like in that in the Wolves game, it just took a little bit for them to really get to gelling. It seemed like,
yeah,
you know what I mean. Like the defense was terrible, and like offensively, they weren't really getting it going right away either.
Yeah,
and I think this team, I mean, they have some kind of sneaky.
They got
not
some
even
guys.
Sneaky,
who can get
they
up.
Just have some good guys on that bench.
For sure. Yeah, I was saying another thing. The Clippers could do that thing where we just don't know what team is playing.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
We trade buckets early.
Definitely.
That's our new bugaboo.
Yeah.
Last year it was like the hot potato offense.
Mm-hmm.
This year it's just trading buckets from the very beginning. What key matches do you have in this one?
Well, like we talked about the bench, Patty Mills versus whoever's going to guard him on that second unit. I'm excited to see what Zoo does both on LaMarcus, and if he ends up going on going against Pirtle or any of their other bigs.
It's definitely doable, but Zoo also has to stay so disciplined defensively.
Yes.
LaMarcus is crafty. He can hit from anywhere. I think we're probably just going to let him shoot because that seems to be just what he does against us. Like Doc, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Doc's always, like, anytime LaMarcus has a good game, Doc's goes like, oh, you know what? We let him shoot. We didn't stop him from shooting. It's like, okay, well.
And he'll be looking to shoot, too.
For
like
sure.
He'll probably take higher than his season average of threes, I would guess. I could be incorrect.
Yeah, because it's only just under three. So
yeah, I would guess that he takes five.
Yeah.
Unless they're really not hitting.
Bev versus Bryn.
Okay.
Bryn Forbes can get hot.
Yeah.
Bev's offense has been fantastic lately.
Mm-hmm. It really has been, man. His little floater game is...
It's on point.
...is incredible.
And in terms of this one, I'd be hyped if we don't get a really good offensive game from Bev, I'm fine if he's just focusing on defense.
Totally, yeah.
We might not really need his... I hope we don't need his offense that bad. But... because... And then I have DeMar versus defense.
Yeah, so that's an interesting guy that we have to try and shut down. I mean,
he's not shooting well. He's shooting 27% from behind.
I was going to say, do you just dare him to shoot from outside? I mean, even that I don't love.
Yeah, I don't love that idea either.
But you can't let him get into driving lanes. If he gets into that quad, we'll call it Kawhi range, he's going to love to knock those down.
He's going to have a pretty good day.
He's going to want to go. I mean, he's going to want to go at us too.
But I'm confident in this game.
Yeah. I'm confident in this game. I would feel better about this win, obviously, than I, you know, expressed my feeling of quality in the Timberwolves win.
For sure. What's your prediction for this game? Oh, I hope we see a 2-1-3 game. I think Kawhi is going to get his 10th game.
Oh yeah,
of 30 points.
Yeah. Maybe a meeting of the 420 Club.
That would be great. That'd be a good time.
All right. So I think I'm really hoping that defensively we can put this one together. That we're not trying to like trade back and forth. I don't know that that's going to be the case.
They are 8th in points per game.
But I'm going to say we hold them. I'm hoping we hold them under 110. Let's go 108, 121 Clips.
Okay, so yeah, you're taking the over.
Oh, what's the line right
now? We're 10. We're favored by 10.
I'll take the over.
Damn,
I'm feeling pretty good. I just think we're going to show up to play the Spurs.
Yeah.
I just think there's like...
Everyone's going to feed off. Yeah.
It's a franchise that you respect.
Yeah. And the whole Kawhi thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Clippers win this one. I don't know if it's by 10. I think this one's maybe... I think we play well, mm-hmm. but so do the Spurs.
Gotcha.
I think it's going to be like 118... No, let's go 116 Clippers, 112 Spurs.
Oh, so it's really
close. It's a tight game, yeah.
Wow.
4-point game. Let's know what you think. At Locked on Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. Coming up after this, we got the Freshies.
Hey, it's Fresh. I don't know.
So usually we talk about how the new guys are doing, but today on the Freshies, I asked this question.
Look at this photograph.
Look at this photograph. Would a trade facilitate actual chemistry issues for this Clippers team?
Depends.
There's a triumvirate in the locker room, and it's Bev, Lou, Trez. Those are the three biggest locker room guys.
The vocal guys.
Yeah, for sure.
Totally.
One of them has been talked about as maybe a movable piece.
Mm-hmm.
Trez. Montrezl Harrell. that's a big loss to the locker room chemistry, you know, pie chart or whatever.
You know, I would agree with you. I do think that it's changed a little bit.
Ooh.
Some of the vibe in general. And I'm not saying I buy into like there being a chemistry issue or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's like less unfathomable now to imagine one of those characters no longer in the locker room. Just because, I mean, with Kawhi and Paul George, sure, they're not as vocal, but you'd be really hard pressed to say that they weren't leaders in the locker room
for sure. Yeah, these are the most vocal. I also, in terms of that Bev, Lou, Trez thing, losing Bev or Lou, I think would be way bigger impact wise. Like, I think there'd be a lot more quotes of like, "You just hate to lose a guy like that" types. Not that there won't be for Trez.
Yeah,
but I think there'd just be more like, "Dude, like Bev, like that'd be big."
That'd be. I mean, when you said that to me today, like if that was a possibility,
that'd be nuts. I don't know about that. I don't know if they're trading Bev though.
I don't think so. I can't imagine so, but I don't know.
That's the part that sucks. I think it would just set us back a little bit on this like continuity thing. I don't think it'd be a chemistry issue really if we lost one of those guys. Like,
so here's my thing.
It would suck.
I do agree with you, but the thing is this whole team, like, as fully healthy, has played, what, 2 games together?
Hell yeah, dude.
So I don't think it's that much of a continuity difference at this point. You know what I mean?
I still think back to that question. I think it was from UK Clipper, who was just like, do our guys just have to get used to not having continuity? Like, is that what the continuity is now?
I mean, kind of, yeah.
We got ankle watch. We got hammy watch.
Yeah.
We got all,
back watch.
We got back watch. Bat lock watch. We have Shamit's back watch. 2020, like, I guess there's kind of a lot of turnover anyway. In terms of trades, we haven't really heard anything.
Yeah.
There's been nothing concrete, which is how it goes.
Always.
Which is freaks me out about, now that we're just talking about Bev being maybe move.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I don't think that would happen. There was some conspiracy brains out there on Twitter who noticed Kawhi had his jersey retired in San Diego. A couple of people were absent from the photo. And it was Patrick Beverley and Mo Harkless. Which is
troubling.
A little troubling. I don't know if it's that big a deal.
Huh?
Do you think it's a scale of 1 to 10? 1 being meh.
I'm very surprised that I'm really surprised that both of them aren't there, to be perfectly honest.
So seems like it's a big deal.
I'm very surprised that Pat isn't there. And I think though that it's not.
We don't know if he wasn't there though.
It's not reason for concern.
Pat Laurie in the house. How you doing, buddy?
What's up?
It's not reason for concern so much as I think that it could just still be a part of Pat's recent being a baby with the media tour. 2020.
I don't know about that. I don't think he's missing Kawhi's thing for that.
Then what's he missing it for?
I don't know.
Had to get lunch.
Also, could have been in the back.
Yeah.
Could not have seen him in the photo.
Mo was definitely not there, though.
Rodney Magruder's. The picture's very funny because Rodney Magruder's in a very nice, like fresh, like green outfit. But like he's like,
I don't know if I call it nice. He's wearing a sweatsuit.
It's a nice sweatsuit. What do you want me to do? I think sweatsuits are nice. Let me live, dude. But that's I don't know if there's too much to read into that there. Do we still think that there's going to be a trade? Where are you at percentage wise?
I'm still pretty high, man. Has you were at 85%, I believe, last time we talked. Has that quelled?
I'm sticking at 85.
Yeah, I would just be very surprised. We didn't talk about it that much in the game preview, but we can touch on it now. Like, Harkless and Magruder have not looked very good.
They have not at all.
And I think...
Patrick Lorre just brought over some fantastic tasting tequila. Thank you for this mezcal,
sir.
This
is the mezcal, single village. We don't fuck around here.
Wow. Happy Super Bowl to us. They need to get... They're not looking very good.
So, I still think that something is going to happen.
For sure.
Patrick Lorre is saying it is imperative that they make a move.
Absolutely.
I think it's close. Anything else that we want to talk about?
I mean... We're drinking mezcal now. I think it's time.
Yeah,
to, I think it's time to get out of here.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope everyone had a great weekend. We're recording this on Sunday. Hope you have a good Super Bowl.
Or a great Super Bowl.
Yeah, okay. I'm the bad guy now. Tuesday's episode, we got a recap of that hopeful victory over the Spurs. We're going to be taking your questions for Twitter Tuesday, so send those in.
Send them in.
At Locked On Clips, at Charles Lockwood, at Will Updike.
Send those cues.
As whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. I've been positive, Chuck Lockyer.
I'm William the Opinion. I'm like, appreciate you.